Here we go. Well, I want to talk tonight about assurance, and to do that, I want to ask this question. Can you say that you know Jesus, the Son of God, better this week? That's an interesting question. Can you say that you know Jesus Christ better this week than you did last week? Because it should be a growing relationship. So, with assurance, we are assured and we are certain of our salvation because of the authority of God's Word. Amen? We trust God's Word. We believe God's Word. And so we have assurance of our salvation because there is a level beyond anything else of authority in God's Word. There are many evidences that we can look at to know that we are saved and have eternal life. And that is what we want to look at tonight. Number one, God promises eternal life in His Word. Amen? How many of you know that His Word is the truth? So He promises eternal life in His Word. So according to John chapter 1 and verse 12, what is the promise that is associated with receiving Jesus? Well, let's look at it. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So again, the question, what promise is associated with receiving Jesus? What's the promise there? The promise is that we have the right to become children of God. Amen? That's our right. It is our God-given right. So the Greek word translated received here is also used in verse 11 in the sense of welcoming. And here it carries the sense of accepting. And so to receive Jesus is to welcome and acknowledge Him as our Savior and our Lord. Amen? So in Greek, right means, I'm not talking about this is my right. I'm talking about the right that we have to become children. The word right means authority or permission. It means we have the authority and we have the permission. In this context, it speaks literally of God granting you and I the right or giving the privilege for the new birth. Isn't that amazing? As messed up as some of us have been in our life, He still gives us the right and the privilege of for the new birth. No one can attain this new birth by his or her own power, by their own merit, nor especially by their own ability. Only God can grant that to us. Only God. So the Greek word for children emphasizes the idea of birth, which Jesus will expand in chapter 3. The new birth comes only to those who believe. Do you know that you can't just pick and choose when you come to the Lord? Have you ever been talking to somebody about the things of God and they say, "Well, not today. You know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe somewhere down the road." Listen, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, for one thing. And the Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that draws us and compels us to be saved. Amen? And so, that's a risk that I don't think people ought to be trying to take. So to believe then, to believe in Jesus' name is to believe in His person. Amen? It's to believe in who He is and to believe what He represents. Listen, how many of you understand that you have to believe that on your worst day? When literally when all hell's coming against you, that's when you need to be believing. Not just when life is just floating along and everything's great. It's when everything is going bad. It's in those moments that we have to believe what it is that He represents. To believe parallels receiving, and as another aspect of our relationship with Christ. If we believe in our relationship with Christ, then it's natural for there to be some receiving. Amen? I mean, He's provided some things. If He provided some things for us, then we ought to receive the things that He's provided. So it leaves really no doubt that we need to make a conscious, personal response. So receiving and believing indicate informed awareness, not blind or empty faith. Listen. When Joshua said in chapter 24, when he said, choose you this day, how many of you have ever had to choose something? And when you choose something, do you just choose by whim, or do you maybe do some investigation? Do you maybe study some things out? Do you, before you make your choice? Because how many of you realize we a lot of times we are, in a sense, we are stuck with the choices that we make. So receiving and believing indicate informed awareness, not blind or empty faith. Receiving and believing have a personal object, the object of Jesus Christ. If I can be so, it almost seems casual to call Him an object. But He is a person, and as people, we are objects. In fact, doesn't the Bible say we're the object of His affection? So we receiving and believing have a personal object, which is Christ Jesus. And so the object of our faith is not a system. It's not some tradition. It's not even some organization. And it is certainly not a religion. Because Jesus Christ never came to this earth to establish a religion. He came to this earth really to do away with religion and establish a relationship between fallen man and a holy and a righteous God. And we must never forget that. So when we receive and believe in Jesus Christ, then He gives us the privilege of becoming children of God. Think just for a moment. We've seen, in our lifetime, we've seen so many fostered kids. Kids are in foster homes. Kids that have been literally abandoned by their parents for one reason or another. And then those children oftentimes get adopted. Imagine going through the system of being put in orphanages and these places and all those kinds of things where the unwanted kids end up, the abandoned kids, only to find somebody come through town and goes to that orphanage and says, I want you and you and you and you and you. I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to take, in fact, I'm just going to take you all. Because Mike had this look on his face like, I didn't get picked. So I'm going to take you all. And I'm going to give you my name. And I'm going to provide a home for you. And I'm going to provide food for you. And I'm going to provide clothing for you. In fact, I'm going to provide everything for you. You'll never have to worry again about where you sleep, about what you wear, about whether or not you're going to have a meal, whether or not your name's going to change. I'm adopting you. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't think we can imagine. Maybe those of you that have fostered kids and brought them into your home and so forth, maybe you can glimpse a little bit of it, but I think unless we've ever been that child, that we've been adopted, I don't think we can really understand the awesomeness of having someone come and pick you. Say, I'm taking you home. I'm giving you my name. He has given us the privilege of becoming children of God. He has adopted us. He has grafted us into the vine. He has made a way where there seemed to be no way. He's preparing a place for us. He's making provision for us. He is doing everything that we ever need. Many believed superficially in Jesus when they saw His miracles, but they did not believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Can I tell you that disconnect disqualifies them? That disconnect disqualifies them. Because listen, you got to take the whole package or you don't get any of it. They believed in Him while He fulfilled their expectations of what the Messiah should be, but they left Him when He defied their preconceived notions. Let that sink in for a minute. They believed in Him while He fulfilled their expectations. Let me just caution you with this. Don't believe in prayer as long as God's answering your prayer. You better be believing in prayer even when He doesn't answer your prayer. Because just because you and I haven't seen the answer to our prayer, don't mean it ain't coming. And we have to come to the place where we recognize and we realize that Jesus Christ and God Almighty and the Holy Ghost are not working on a microwave timetable like we are. I mean, I'm in such a hurry, I don't even want to go inside the restaurant anymore. I can just drive up in my car, get it right out the window, and be gone. You understand what I'm saying? They believed in Him while He fulfilled their expectations of what the Messiah should be. What are your expectations of what the Messiah should be? See, they left Him when He defied their preconceived notions. We must believe in Jesus as Jesus. We must believe in Jesus as Jesus. He is the Son of God. We must wholeheartedly believe in Jesus. We must not limit Him to our idea or our misconception. We must regard Jesus as the Bible truly presents Him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, He might be writing your book, and you might not be all that happy about the way your book's turning out. Ha ha! But it's His story. And He's writing your story the way He wants your story to be. So let's look at this. Look at what it says. Pardon me? Oh, okay. Let's look at what it says in John 3:16 here. See, John 3:16 says this. Whosoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life. Whosoever believes in Jesus. God's love is not just to a certain group of individuals. He offered it in this verse of Scripture to the world. Let me qualify it. For God so loved... For God so loved Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Let's just condense it down. Let's just focus on right here, right now. For God so loved Myrtle Creek, Oregon, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever in Myrtle Creek, Oregon would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. And the world. See, sacrificial Sacrificial love is also practical in seeking ways to meet the needs of those who are loved. In God's case, that love was infinitely practical since it set out to rescue those who had no hope. Listen, he's talking to you and I tonight. Those who had no hope of rescuing themselves. Thank God for that. If anybody needed rescuing, it was me. I've messed it up so many times. And God has rescued me. Pulled me out of the fire. God paid dearly, church, to save us. He gave, literally, His only begotten Son. He paid the highest price that anybody could pay. The incredible thing is that this offer is made to whoever believes. Now we think about the most vile person. Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson. As bad, Timothy McVeigh, some of those kinds of people. I mean, the people that we're like, what in the world? He died for them. He died for them. One drop of His blood could wash all that away. They still have to pay a price, understand that. So, to believe, man, this is something. I every time I talk about John 3:16, this phrase, this statement comes up, and the reason why is because it is so practical and it is so true. Listen to this. To believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. To believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means putting our trust and our confidence in Him that He alone can save us. And it doesn't matter what you've done, He can save you. It doesn't matter what it is, He can forgive you. It doesn't matter what it is, He alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and our eternal destiny. And that is where people have a problem. Because if we surrender our whole life to Him, how many of you have plans? Nobody in the whole place has a plan. It's confidential. Let me ask you this. Is it your plan or is it God's plan? Because that's where the rub comes. I got all kinds of plans. But I'm not sure they're all good God plans. Amen? Are they God's plans? See, He wants to be in charge of our present plan and our eternal destiny. So believing in is both trusting His Word as reliable and then relying on Him for the power to change. How many of you know that some things take a little longer to change than others? How many of you realize that other folk take a little heart longer to change than others? Some people just come right in line and everything is great. Others, it's like every day. Others, it's like every hour of every day. Others, like me, it's every minute of every day. I mean, it's just a process that I just have to keep hammering and hammering and hammering away at. Today's Wednesday, and so again, I was in my truck and I'm listening to gospel music on the radio, and I had these stupid thoughts, you know, just cut you off and all this kind of, and I'm like, my mind is going to be stayed on the Lord. Bam. I mean, they just come from everywhere. They're just bam, bam. I'm like, I'm making this determined. I mean, I'm fighting my way through the day. I mean, that's literally, church, what we have to do. And it ain't fun. It's work. It's hard work. And God keeps putting people in front of me. Hey, I'm telling you what. Has there ever been people put in front of you that you just they just rub you the wrong way? Yeah. Twice today, I go to the same mill. The same truck gets put in front of me. And the guy that's in that truck drives me bananas. I've tried to talk to him. I mean, we used to be like good friends. I've tried to talk to him. He won't even... I walked right by him today just like that. And I said, good morning. He just kept right on walking like I wasn't even there. I just wanted to just... Did you not hear me? I mean, but I have to die to that flesh. Every day we have to do this. We have to do it. To believe is more than intellectual agreement. Believing is both trusting His Word as reliable and then relying on Him for the power to change. God, I prayed in the Holy Spirit so much today. I mean, I've been just driving down. I'm just praying. Oh, God. I just got to get through Bible study tonight. By relying on Him for the power to change. You know what it means to have the power to change? It means more than just making it to Bible study tonight. I want those things in my life changed. There are things in my life that I want to just have behind me. That don't keep popping up. This will be refreshing for some of us. John chapter 5 and verse 24, it says here that the one who believes in God will not experience judgment. Listen to what it says. Most assuredly. How many of you understand what most assuredly means? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That ought to make you just want to shout. I mean, most assuredly. That's not just a little bit. Most assuredly. I say to you, he who hears. How many of you realize that hearing is more than just a sound going in your ear? My wife will say to me, Are you hearing me? Or are you just listening? I don't know. Can you repeat that, please? Yeah. What? And the men said, amen. All right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believe. Listen, you can't believe his word if you didn't hear his word. And I'm not talking about just having those words come out. I mean, you've got to receive what he's saying. It's got to get down inside of you. He who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Listen, true hearing results in believing because, as Paul says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. True hearing results in believing. True hearing results in believing. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, the gospel usually stresses believing in Jesus Himself, but Jesus points to believing in the one who sent Him. So the statement affirms the unity of the Father and the Son. So to believe in the Father is to believe in the Son that He sent to the earth. And so if you're going to believe in the Father who sent the Son, if you're going to believe in the Son who the Father sent, then you need to believe in the Holy Spirit who the Lord sent in His place when He returned back there. That's the Trinity. We ought to have them all. It affirms the unity of the Father and the Son. To believe in the Father is to believe in the Son He sent to the earth. So the believer does not come under judgment because the judgment has passed. So the decision that we make about Jesus places eternal consequences before us. Again, I refer back to Joshua. Choose you. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a conscious choice. And no matter how bad it gets, no matter how far away you feel like you are from the Lord, you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. Listen, the old song we used to sing all the time, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, still I will follow." It's in that moment of time, it's in those places where we've got to come with this attitude, I like to use big words once in a while when I know them, tenacity. Bam! Huh? You've got to have tenacity. There's got to be something tenacious about your believing that God is who he said He is, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you. Let me define tenacious. Tenacity is what is going on inside of a bulldog's head when you give him a pork chop and then try and take it from him. He's holding on with tenacity. So belief in Christ means that we have passed from death into life. And according to chapter 3 and verse 18, God has judged this present world, and we will realize the full devastation of that judgment at the final judgment day. So belief in Jesus then provides the only escape for this judgment. I'm telling you, people that just don't need Jesus, boy, are they a... How unfortunate is that? It's tragic. It's tragic to think that you've got so much control on everything in your life that your eternity is also in your hands. No? Well, I guess it is. It is in your hands. You have that choice. Wow. Belief in Jesus provides the only escape from this judgment. So for those who believe, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. For those who believe, we're back to that, right? For those who believe, it is true that God has in fact rescued us from the dominion of darkness. If He lives in us, there shouldn't be any darkness. Because why? Light expels the darkness. So in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, we learn that we'll never perish. John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. That ought to give some of us some comfort. That ought to give some of us some comfort to know that even though the enemy is roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, this verse of Scripture says that the Lord will snatch us out of that problem. In this grand statement, Jesus summarized the blessing of those who truly listen to and believe the gospel. So the believer in Jesus knows Him personally, has eternal life, will not perish, and is secure in His care. But many of those who heard had no intention of truly listening. Because when you truly listen, how many of you know what's next? That's part of it. Pardon me? Responding. There's got to be some level of action taken. If we believe, those who intently listen and receive what we're hearing, and there's got to be some level of action. What was the word you used? We got to respond to the Holy Spirit and to the unction. So many of those who heard had no intention of truly listening. But it's also true that those refusing to listen to Jesus' voice, they're in fact not His sheep. Because let me just break it down for you. His sheep know His voice. I'm a cow guy. I can't help it. I like cows a way lot more than I like sheep. Cows, you get on a horse or a four-wheeler or whatever and you drive them. You herd cows. You do not herd sheep. You lead sheep. You have to develop, maybe you have to develop a relationship, literally, with the sheep. You spend time with them. Oh, what was his name? Oh, over in the old church. Raised sheep all of his life and I was in Sunday school class one morning and he said, listen, if a shepherd has a sheep that keeps getting away and keeps getting himself in trouble, what he does is he breaks the sheep's leg. That'll learn you. He breaks the sheep's leg and then he carries the sheep around with him until the sheep's leg heals up and he nurtures it and he feeds it and he meets every need that the little sheep has, and then when he gets healed up and he puts them back in the flock, guess what? Transformation has happened in the sheep, and the sheep realizes the source of his provision, and he realizes that it's from the shepherd, and he don't go running amok anymore. Isn't that amazing? Listen. We recognize Christ's voice when He speaks to us through the Bible. Are we truly listening for it? We have to listen. He's speaking to you every time you pick up the Bible. Well, not really. I'm just reading. It's God's Word, and He is speaking to you. There's no arguing. It is the living Word of God. I want to stop right there. I know it's a little early, but I'm afraid that we'll get going and yeah. I want to stop right there, and we're going to pick it up next week, and we're going to begin talking about the Holy Spirit gives us assurance of our salvation. We're going to begin to look at what role the Holy Spirit plays in this idea of assurance of salvation. And one of the things that I'm pretty sure that we're going to be seeing is this. The Holy Spirit, well, let me ask, what does the Holy Spirit do? Yeah. All that. He lives in us. He lives in us. And we can feel Him. And if we'll listen, we can hear Him. And if we'll be obedient, we will act upon Him. And as we do, the Holy Spirit will give us assurance of our salvation. He will assure us, even in those moments of time when we feel unassured, when we feel unworthy. Can I just tell you that when you feel unworthy, that's when you're, you know, you need to recognize that it isn't about you. It's about what He did for you. Your worthiness or unworthiness doesn't factor in. What He did on the cross is what matters. And He died. We already established this earlier. He died for you and I. We may have to die. We may have to someday give our life. Could happen. I'm believing that the rapture is going to come. I'm believing for it. Going out in the first load. Amen. Amen. Listen, the Holy Spirit. Listen, according to Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Just stop right there. Just think about that for a moment. Listen, this is just a little precursor of what's coming next week. This is just like the hors d'oeuvres. This is like an appetizer. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. Go home and look up Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, bam! Listen to me. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Listen. I don't know how much more plainer it gets than that. Church, let me just tell you, whether you're watching by way of the internet tonight or whether you're here in the house, I want you to know tonight that the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He wants to assure you that you are His child. It doesn't matter what the devil's telling you. I'm telling you that God said you're His child. If you've accepted Him, if you've believed on Him, if you've heard what He said, if you've heard the Spirit and responded to the Spirit and said, yes, Jesus, I accept You and I hear the shepherd's voice, it don't make a difference what the devil has to say, because it's just blah, 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 blah. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Yes, I might have to suffer a little bit, but it's nothing compared to what Christ went through for me. So take that, devil. Amen? Father God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your Word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank You tonight, God, that Your Word meets every need that we have. Your Word has an answer and a solution for every situation, for every problem that we face. God, Your Word can go forth in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, and it can begin to draw people into this place of worship. Lord, and I pray tonight, God, that by Your Spirit, You'll begin to the north, the south, the east, and the west to begin to draw Your people in. Lord, I pray for miracles. I pray for the miraculous to begin to take place. I pray, God, for healing to take place. I pray for Gene's hip to be completely healed in the name of Jesus right now. I pray for Mark to have brand new knees right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for new heart for Billy. I pray for Cheryl. I pray for every situation. I can't even name them all. But I pray, God, that You would just meet the need. I pray, God, that You would heal. I pray, God, for those that are without tonight. Those that are experiencing lack. Those that that have needs, Lord, that You would meet those needs because that's what You do. God, for those tonight that need Your touch in their mind, in their emotions, in their spirit, I pray the healing balm of Gilead would just saturate them. Lord, those that the enemy's been lying to over and over and over, we put a stop to it in the name of Jesus. Devil, get your hands off of our kids. Get Your hands off of our kids. Lord, we call in our kids tonight. We call in our children tonight. We bring them back home, Lord. We loose Your Holy Spirit tonight to go and do battle on behalf of our children tonight, oh God. Bring them in. Our loved ones, God. Bring them in. Our co-workers, God. Our employees, Lord. There are those that in this town that are needing employees, good employees, faithful employees. God, bring them in. Bring them in. God, fill this place. God, fill this preacher with love and compassion and fire. God, that I would not be ashamed. God, that I would never hold back on the truth of Your Word, but that God would speak forth truth boldly, that God, a church alive is worth the drive, that people will come from as far as Medford and Eugene just to be in this place because the truth is being told. God, we thank You for it. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, in advance. Hallelujah. God bless you and good night.